Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. This is part 7 of the series, The Altar. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Heavenly Father, it's my prayer that people would believe the report, that they would believe the gospel, that they would believe the preached word, and as we study it, they would understand and believe. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's everyone that's listening to this broadcast or later on downloaded off the internet as a podcast. It's everyone. I know it's everyone because the last chapter of the Bible says, "He that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely." And for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes the report would not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, I know that heaven awaits those that believe. But Lord, during this time of trouble, I know that Jesus is the answer. I know that the Spirit of God can bring peace to the troubled heart. I understand the troubles. I've been out of work. I understand the troubles. It's been times when I've had to wait a week or two before I can pay a bill. I understand. And I'm sure just about everyone listening to me has been affected the same way. Please help us during this time of trouble, this time of fear, this time of economic collapse. Please help us. Please help our nation, O God. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ the credit. And in his wonderful name we pray. Amen. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, is probably the greatest chapter in all of the Old Testament. There are many things, many places in the Word of God that are fantastic. But in terms of telling us about Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his compassion, his patience, his suffering, and his death, burial, and resurrection. This chapter is probably the best one you could turn to in the Old Testament to find out about the Lord. For 400 years, there was no prophecy in Israel, no prophet, no word from God. Things went on. People went to synagogue every Saturday. The prayers were prayed, the sacrifices were made, the tithes were paid, what have you. Things went on. But for 400 years, God was essentially silent. And then one day, and you can read it in the Gospels, you can read about John the Baptist and his mother and his father, Elizabeth, and what have you. And 6 months later, that angel came to Mary. And we know the rest of the story. We can read it. Everybody's heard it preached of how Jesus came into the world. But it was a root out of dry ground. Again, 400 years of silence that Jesus came into the world. And it says, He hath no form nor comeliness. When we'll see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. This root out of dry ground, you can look in Matthew. Matthew starts out telling the genealogy of Christ, that He's the King of David, and it gives the list of names that start in verse 5, and I've got a point to reading all of these. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. And again, it gives the list. This guy had a son, and that guy had a son, and it goes on down and mentions Jehoshaphat in verse 8. But let's look at verse 11. And Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried off or carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. And again, it goes on down. And finally, we get to Jesus Christ. His genealogy, that's what this list is. But it mentions Jeconiah or Jeconias in verse 11 and 12. Again, he was one of the kings of Judah. It started out Israel. There was King David, and it was King Solomon, and Rehoboam, and then the kingdom split. The kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. But we know that Jesus is of the tribe of Judah, and He's the son of David. And again, this is the genealogy, the family tree. But it mentions this guy, Jeconiah. He was not a good king, he was an evil king. And in Jeremiah chapter 22, God is reproving Jeconiah. And in verse 24 through 30, it says this, As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, which is short for Jeconiah, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet I would pluck thee thence. And I will give thee unto the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, Again, God is talking to Jeconiah, the evil king. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. But unto the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Again, God carried the nation of Israel and Judah. There were actually three waves that went over as captives. And they were there for 70 years. And he says, you're going to want to come back, but you're not going to be able to come back. And in fact, you're going to die a captive in the land of Babylon. And where's Babylon? We understand that it's in Iraq. But in verse 28, is this man, Coniah, a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is there no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, or his children and children's children, what have you, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, and a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. We just read in Matthew the genealogy of Jesus Christ from David until the Lord was born. And Jeconiah is mentioned. He's in the middle of the genealogy. He's in the middle of the family tree. And it gets to him. And it continues. And it goes up to Joseph, the husband of Mary, and then Jesus. We understand that Jesus was not the son of Joseph, that he was born of a virgin. He lived in that family, but he was not the son of Joseph. But Matthew gives the genealogy. This man, this evil king Jeconiah, is in the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of his wickedness, the prophet Jeremiah says, forget it. Forget it. You're going to be carried away, captive into the land of Babylon. You're never coming home. You're going to die there. And there's not going to be any of your children or grandchildren or anything like that. Nobody's going to sit on the throne of Judah anymore. This curse upon the last king of Judah, that none of his children would ever be a king ever again. The virgin birth sidesteps this curse, and the succession of kings. You say, how can that be? How can that be? In Matthew, there's the genealogy given, but also in Luke, if you remember, the genealogy is given for the Lord. Luke chapter 3, verse 23 to 32. And Jesus began to be about 30 years of age when he started his ministry, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. But if you read in Matthew, Joseph's father was not Eli or Heli. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Again, David was king. and Jesus is the son of David. And it gives the genealogy in Matthew through Joseph. But one of the kings, Jeconiah, was so evil that God cut it off and cursed him and said, there's not going to be a king from your loins that's going to sit on the throne. But we know that Jesus is the king of the Jews. But it's through his mother's side, his mother's family tree. And the curse of Jeconiah was sidestepped. The curse of Jeconiah was sidestepped through the virgin birth. Again, a root out of dry ground. In Matthew it says that David, his son Solomon, was next to sit on the throne. But in Luke, through Mary, it says in Luke chapter 3, verse 31, which was the son of Melaiah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Matthiah, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which is the son of Obed and Boaz. You see the difference. In Matthew, Jesus came through Solomon, the son of David. But in Luke, on Mary's side of the family, it was through David's son, Nathan. The entire Old Testament testifies and prophesies of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Son of David. And in the middle of it, because of sin and rebellion and idolatry, God curses that line, the kingly line, making it impossible for a son of David to sit on the throne. But God, he sent that angel to Mary and told her that she'd give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God. And that curse to Jeconiah was necessary. It was necessary. He was a sinful, evil king, and that had to be stopped. But it was necessary when Jesus was born, when he came to this earth, when he was incarnated. It was necessary that Jeconiah be cut off, that the work that God was doing was not of man, was not a natural thing. It was not just, oh, well, one guy had a son, and that guy had a son, and that guy had a son, and oh, I know there was a period where things didn't look right, but oh, finally we got the son of David, and he's on the throne. No, it had to be that Jeconiah was cut off. It had to be that the kingly line was stopped so that God could show himself mighty. And through the miracle of the virgin birth, even through a cursed line of kings, Christ, the King of the Jews, was born. A root out of dry ground that sprouted where there was no hope. But it says in this second verse of Isaiah, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus was just a guy, just a carpenter. If he built furniture, or if he built houses, or if he built boats, I don't know. Doesn't say what kind of carpentry he did. But he was just a guy. And for 30 years, he was just a guy. And when he started his ministry, everybody was amazed. This is just a guy. Isn't this the carpenter's son, what have you? He's just a guy. Let's look at Mark chapter 6. It starts in verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, and said, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, in verse 3, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and of Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? And it says they were all offended at him. Again, a root out of dry ground, and no form nor comeliness. Today, if you want to get ahead, maybe you get into politics. Now, maybe you somehow manage to get on maybe the cast of NCIS or one of the shows that's filmed here as an extra or whatever, and then you make it to one of the regular roles or something. You become a movie star. Or maybe a television anchor, somebody that's seen every night on TV, and you get famous. And we admire those that make it to those positions. We look up to them. We're in awe of them. What have you. Or in the ministry. If you're a scholar, or you went to seminary, maybe you've got an MDiv, or maybe a PhD or something, the Doctor of Divinity. You know, in some churches, if you don't have an MDiv or what have you, they won't even let you preach. In some denominations, you can't pastor a church unless you've got an advanced degree from seminary. Jesus had none of those things. He was just a guy. Just a regular guy. He went to work every day, what have you. He put on his pants one leg at a time, just like everybody else. He didn't go to Bible school or what have you. But when he stood up to preach, everybody knew that the hand of God was with him. And I've said this before in the book of Matthew, that chapter after chapter after chapter, people were amazed. People were astonished at the wisdom, at the theology, at the miracle-working power that he had. He had those things. He had a touch from heaven. But as far as the things of earth, the way that we rank things or rate things, or the way that we perhaps judge if someone is a success in life or a failure or what have you, or just an average guy, Jesus was just an average guy. Again, he's God come in the flesh. We said that he's 100% God, but he was 100% man. He didn't have any beauty that we should desire him. When we see him, there's nothing to attract us to him through his humanity. But when he was anointed by the Spirit at the River Jordan, and he came out of that wilderness, the power of God rested upon him. And for 3.5 years, he turned Israel upside down. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.